Here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, for my 50th birthday, me and a couple of friends, among other places, we got the chance to visit the Mediterranean island nation of Malta. And it was absolutely gorgeous. And I would recommend it to anyone that will listen, pay it a visit. Well, over the weekend, three tourists, they had a very memorable visit to Malta, but for all the wrong reasons. In a nutshell, one tourist jumped into the water from a natural rock formation. Seconds later, the rock formation that they jumped from collapsed and landed in the water below. But between the water and the rock formation were two jet skiers underneath, and things ended poorly. But otherwise, Malta is beautiful. Mexico, another place I love. Beautiful, beautiful, but beautiful beaches. Our tourists there went to Puerto Vallarta, took advantage of the beach in front of the Marriott Resort. Yeah, he was dragged out to sea by a crocodile. It grabbed him by the thigh, and it took him away. His body was recovered about 900 feet offshore, which is more insulting because that means it didn't even eat him. It just dragged his ass out there, let him die. And it's like, I'm not even hungry. Now, oddly enough, I'm headed to Central Florida this weekend for the 4th of July. Actually, I'm headed there on 4th of July, but I'm actually there for a volleyball tournament right there in Central Florida. Now, there's no crocodiles there, but there have been three alligator attacks in the last 7 days. Now, in spite of that, Florida officials, they call the attacks rare, even though it happens 42% of the time. Now, they say that the thing, they say the same thing about sharks, right? About 50 miles south of Florida and the Bahamas. 12-year-old kid is on vacation. He was attacked by a shark while snorkeling with his family. Now, obviously, all these things put a damper on the vacation plans, but some things are just out of your control. But other times, things are completely in your control. For example, 16 people, they've been banned from Carnival Cruise Lines after they decided to get into a brawl. We'll share the details of that coming up. But first, we want to hear your story. If you're lucky, you've been on vacation. If you're real lucky, it went off without a hitch. But that's probably not the case. Sometimes people get sick, they get injured, you might get arrested, you get lost, you lose your passport. Inevitably, something can go wrong. So that's what today's question is all about. Brought to you by our friends at Advanced Air Restoration. We have a fill-in-the-blank style question for you. The vacation would have been great, and then blank happened.
To be a part of the big show, call 206-803-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook, follow us on X and Instagram at Men's Room Live. Send those emails to the Men's Room at KISW.com, and I'll watch the show live on YouTube at KISW Rock.
You're listening to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill, 99.9 KISW.
Home and toes, away we go. Welcome to the 21st Amendment season, episode number 4,559. What a large and in charge program we have for you today on this beautiful Tuesday afternoon.
Yeah.
Guaranteed future repeat for sure. We will be joined by Taryn Daly and Steve Miggs from the Daily Miggs Morning Show. We are ready for summer.
Yes, we are.
At any moment, it could happen. Now, typically, if you have been in Seattle long enough, you know the magical number. What is the magical number? Where is it? What is the date yet?
July 5th.
July 5th.
Yep.
That is correct. So, you know, we know what's happening right now.
And that's basically what they're predicting.
Yeah, exactly.
As far as the weather, like, right, July 5th.
Mm-hmm. And as far as weather being consistent in Seattle, this is the one thing that I believe is a constant.
Oh, yeah. They've been saying this since we moved here, and, like, they're not kidding.
Maybe some sun on the 4th of July, but, you know, the 5th, we guarantee it.
Sure.
Okay? We're going to get you there a little bit early today. We have the 10 best rock songs about the summertime.
Best rock songs.
These are rock songs, I believe.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. About the summer. None come to mind off the top of my head.
No. How about Y&T, Summertime Girls?
You reference Y&T more than the band Y&T references Y&T.
Well, it's a song about summer.
It is. It is. You know? Well, girls.
Summer sure. Nights, Van Halen.
Yeah, all right. Okay.
There's some summer songs out there. We got the 10 best coming up, as we'll sit and spin at 4:30.
You love Y&T.
Big fan.
Obviously.
Have you ever seen that video?
What video?
Summertime Girls, Y&T.
Do we have any Y&T?
You know we do.
Yeah.
How many different songs?
Ted, this would be Y&T. A video that you would enjoy.
Yes, it's
California,
you would.
Women in bikinis on the beach. They're summertime girls.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's just a really old video.
Yes, it is an old video. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They wouldn't do that today.
No.
They would not do that today. All right. Speaking of summer, we're going to talk about vacations today on the program. And obviously, once you book a vacation, The most exciting thing, besides the vacation, typically counting down the days, getting everything ready to go, and knowing you get some time off, and hopefully you planned a wonderful outing for yourself and family and friends or whatever you're doing. And sometimes, just based on travel, based on accommodations, based on a lot of different things, your vacation can sometimes take a hard left-hand turn.
Yeah, for sure.
And not for the better. Now, this story, the one that you brought up earlier, Steve, is absolutely bizarre. And just looking at the pictures of Malta, I now know why you're just crazy about that place. Because the water is, I mean, as blue as I have ever seen in a picture of anywhere.
I mean, if you see pictures of, like, Italian beaches, Greek beaches, they're all in the Mediterranean. And Malta is in the middle of the Mediterranean. And when you get there, it looks like a postcard, right? Yep. I mean, you honestly, you can't believe they're there. And then culturally, it's for various reasons throughout their history, it's very different than anywhere else you're going to go.
Now, this, a lot of dominoes fall on this, so to speak.
Great choice of
words. A sightseeing ride in Malta's famed blue waters turned deadly over the weekend when a seaside rock arch gave way without warning. So just think about, like, what you would see in Moab. Or like a land bridge that's going across the top of something. A formation that's been there probably for thousands and thousands of years. That arc gave away without warning. Authorities say a 26-year-old Chinese tourist was killed on Saturday evening after the natural structure on the tiny island collapsed onto his jet ski. Now, he was recovered from the seabed one day later, trapped beneath the boulder that fell.
My question is, how did they get him out?
They had to move the boulders. Underneath it was him and the jet ski. The crash also badly injured the woman that was riding with him. She was on the back. She was taken to a hospital. But the rock formation did not hit her. Now, police say the arch gave way under the weight of a 32-year-old American tourist. He was preparing to jump into the water. Okay, so he is on top of this thing. From what I understand, it sounds like he could kind of feel this thing giving way.
That's the sense I get from the article. Right. They haven't quoted him yet.
Yeah, so once he kind of feels like, uh-oh, he jumped seconds before the collapse, all right? So he jumped outward. The rocks did not fall on him.
That's one way to get over your nerves. You know, you're standing up there, you're looking down at the water like, man, this is really high. I don't know if I'm going to jump. Then you realize it's crumbling. You're going to jump.
And generally, those people that jump from high distance, you throw a rock in anyhow.
Yes, Trent, that is true. Yeah. He did that.
Yeah. He was pulled to safety by a passing boat. Apparently, he did suffer some slight injuries. Now, the difficult recovery operation involved Army and Civil Protection divers and a crane that was mounted on a barge to remove the rocks and debris before they could recover the body. Footage from a nearby party barge helped investigators reconstruct the event. Camino, where this happened, is the smallest of Malta's inhabited islands, and it's known for its diving. They report that unstable rocks around Malta's coast are a growing cause of concern. Several areas have already been fenced off after similar incidents, including one that actually killed a 22-year-old woman a couple years ago.
Oh, damn.
When rocks came down and fell on her while she was in the water.
Maybe don't let people die from there.
Or just be in the area on these cliff sides as these rocks are coming down. But so think about this. This guy's on top of this huge bridge arch. Mm. He can feel something not right. He jumps off. That bridge collapses and falls right on top of a jet ski.
Like, come on.
I mean,
and there's two people on the jet ski, but the rocks only hit one of them. That's the amazing part to me. I mean, she's riding directly behind the guy.
Right.
But the rock somehow missed her and took his ass out.
Now, we're not expecting any of your vacation stories to entail anything as gruesome as some of the stories we have for you today. That's not
the
idea.
Yeah, I hope not.
But these stories have just come up recently in the news.
Well, summer's here. People are taking vacations.
Yeah, we're gonna share them with you. This is not good either. I have been to Puerto Vallarta. Have you been to Puerto Vallarta?
I have never gone to Puerto Vallarta.
All right. I went to Puerto Vallarta during a hurricane.
Right.
That was my Puerto Vallarta experience. So you want to talk about suck. You leave here in, you know, typically in a warm weather environment, for the most part, you might get an afternoon thundershower.
Sure.
It might rain a little bit. You know what I mean? You're dealing with that because of the heat and the humidity in the area.
Yeah.
And just, you know, the area decides it wants to cool down for an hour, half hour. This was not the case when I was in Puerto Vallarta. It was a nonstop torrential downpour for the first 4 days that we were there.
A week?
Mm. I mean, all night long. I mean, you got to remember.
So what do you do?
How Puerto Vallarta is, how it's situated, it is kind of in its own bay, cove, whatever you want to call it. But it's very large. And so that hurricane basically just got in there. And you got to remember, the mountains are on one side.
So it's not leaving.
It just sat in there and spun. You know, it didn't really move anywhere. So every day we get like a window of maybe a half an hour. You're like, okay, go to the pool for a second. You put your towel down, man. Next thing you know, it's pouring down rain again. You're running back inside. So walked around town, did those types of things. But basically just ducked for cover wherever we could find a bar, restaurant, whatever the deal was. But water's coming down the streets.
So that sucks, man. I mean, when I go to Mexico, and I try to go once a year, it's specifically to not be indoors.
Exactly. Now, one thing for sure, though. Once it cleared up, we had a few days left. And every single day after that, I went swimming in the Pacific Ocean. It was a very slow, gradual walk into the water. So it's a lot more like being on the Gulf Coast.
Sure.
As far as this bay and this cove is concerned, it wasn't like a severe drop-off, like you're just dropping off in the Pacific Ocean. It was actually ideal to swim in.
Yeah.
So I was in, you know, waist-deep water for, you know, hours at a time, hanging out. The beach is beautiful when it's sunny and not pouring down rain. There's activity going on the beach and everything else. But this happened in the same place, the same vicinity where I was and in the water. As a man was attacked and killed by a crocodile, this happened in front of a resort at a very popular beach. Now, Jalisco State Police said the 28-year-old man was on the beach in front of the Marriott, which is just next door to where I was staying.
Yeah.
At the Puerto Vallarta Resort and Spa when he allegedly was attacked about 6 o'clock in the evening. After an overnight search and rescue operation, authorities recovered his body about 300 meters offshore. Now, a couple from California said they tried to save the man after hearing screams while they were walking on the beach, but he was dragged too far out to sea. It was pretty traumatizing. So not, I mean, look, it's one thing to die. I get it. That sucks. These people witnessed it. Their vacation sucks, too. I mean, it's not obviously to that level.
Sure.
But when you're thinking you can maybe help this guy, you hear the screams, you try to get out in the water and try to help, but the croc just kept pulling this guy out.
All right, legitimate question. You're walking along the beach. We hear someone screaming, all right? Mm-hmm. It's the men's room beach vacation. We recognize that a crocodile has this person, and they're out in the water. And you say, man, we should help. I go, it's cool. What's your plan?
Well, here was this guy's plan.
I mean, what would you do? Because like, I can go out there, but it is still a crocodile. And I personally, I am ill-equipped to come up with a plan on the top of my head that says, I'm going to save you.
Well, the guy swam out there first, all right? And then he realized...
See, I wouldn't have done that.
That crocodile is pulling him out too fast.
Mm-hmm.
So then he swims his ass back to shore. There's a kayak on the beach. He grabs it with a paddle. I don't know if it was a rental thing or just someone's kayak out on the beach. So he said he paddled out on a kayak in an attempt to reach the victim. But it was too late. He went down, and then at that point, he stayed down. So I was over the top of him, but the water was murky, and you couldn't even see a foot down. So by the time I got to him, it was unfortunately too late. The crocodile had the victim by the thigh while twisting him and pulling him underwater. He said, I am so consumed with grief and anger and sadness. Now, according to Marriott, the safety and security of our guests and associates are our top priority.
We don't think you hired the crocodile. We get it.
Correct. At the Marriott Puerto Vallarta, we have appropriate signage, as well as night patrolling and red flags to indicate caution in the area, and all were and are properly in place. I'm not sure why they felt the need to make a statement. It doesn't really have much to do with the Marriott.
It has nothing to do with you other than it happened in front.
It's like Thrill always says. Like, you know, we get it, Marriott.
We know. We know. If you said, look, normally we hire crocodiles. Unfortunately, this one didn't follow protocol. I go, okay. But otherwise, I think all of us assume that Marriott does not want their guests eaten when they're just...
Even if they've got drones to check the water for whatever the hell's in there, if you can only see a foot into the water because it's muddy and murky, it doesn't really matter.
It don't matter.
You're not going to be able to see a shark.
Well, and there's waves and stuff, right? Like, look, the Disney story was awful, and that was a kid that got attacked and died with that alligator. But they also had signs everywhere that said, don't swim in this water.
Right, don't even get near it.
Yeah.
And the thing is, I want to say this dude, though, as best I can tell from the article, he was walking on the beach.
Yeah.
He wasn't in the water. This crocodile popped out of the water, grabbed his ass. But credit to the guy that tried to save him, because, again, I'm not trying to minimize this, but, like, the four of us are watching someone dealing with I might scream for help, but, like, I'm not going to swim out there. Okay, say I get there. now what? And then I'm going to swim back, grab the kayak, and I go, okay, now I'm going to paddle out there. Now what?
Look, they lurk on the banks and in shallow water, waiting for something to come by.
Mm-hmm.
That is the idea. That is how they attack in Africa. They're sitting in a watering hole. Whatever comes up, they leap out of the water. They grab you and pull you in. Most of the dogs that are attacked in Florida, their owner is walking them on the side of the water.
Next to the canal.
Next to whatever body of water it is. The alligator's lurking. He leaps out. He gets on land. He gets a hold of the guy. And, you know, you're going to have
to. And that's a wrap.
And that's it. So it's not like you're not even. Yes, people do get attacked when they're in the water, obviously.
Sure.
But that's not the norm. That's not how they hunt.
Right. But even, again, I'm just like, look, it sucks that happened, but the guy's like, I'm trying to save him. It's like, man, I respect that, but what were you going to do when you got
there? The problem is, right, because he's in the water.
Especially, it's the first time he's swimming out there. Like, bro, yeah. I mean.
If the crocodile was just kind of.
On land?
Yeah.
You would
see.
Okay. I would maybe go kick it or something.
I just don't. I'm with you. I don't know what I would do in the water.
Once it's in the water, like, dude, that's his spot. You know.
Yeah. But again, news to me. If I would have known that there are crocodiles in the water,
would you have not gone in?
You think I would have gone in?
I mean, you know, saltwater
crocodiles.
I mean, thrilled. Look,
one thing, a shark is one thing. I'm talking about, because that's where they lurk. They lurk in shallow water. Basically, you could walk 50 yards out. It was only up to your waist. That's what I mean.
Well, don't walk out that far. This is what I would do. One, I make a judgment call of how many other people are on the beach, right? So for their early morning and maybe there's two other families, like, I'm not getting in there. Now, later in the day, 500 people on the beach, I'm going to play it a little more shallow than they are.
All right.
But I'll go out in the water. But
so,
you're right.
I mean, I did it last summer, right? Like, I went swimming at a beach in Cape Cod, and my family said, don't worry, they're never on, like, the inner Cape, they're on the outer Cape. And then, what, 2 days later, the exact beach where I was swimming at, these paddle boarders had a great white.
Following them.
Correct.
Yeah.
So, like, I knew the danger, and Thrill, you're right. I was the only person on that beach
but
in the water.
But they kept telling you that the sharks aren't there.
Correct.
To me, the tip-off with you is, Ted, don't worry, the sharks are on the other side of whatever the rock formation is,
okay.
Right?
Yeah.
And my question is, then how come no one else is getting in the water?
Right, let me ask you a question.
That's what scared me.
That's the tip off.
It was, and it wasn't.
Because they don't believe it enough that they got in the water.
Right, it wasn't the warmest day, so I get there was,
sure.
You know, it's kind of cloudy or whatever, because the Cape can beat weather like ours. But when I was out there and it's just me, I was like, I feel like I'm just like a human sausage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like hanging out
your
here.
Bait.
In Puerto Vallarta, this happened on Friday. So now all we're right. Here Tuesday. So he's still in the vicinity. They have not captured this crocodile. How much money would it take you to wade out into the water, even if it's just 20 feet out, for 10 minutes?
For 10 minutes?
10 minutes, just stand there. Like I did. I stood there for hours.
Yeah, but you didn't know.
I didn't know saltwater crocodiles existed in the area. If I'd have known that,
yeah.
F that, I'm pool boy.
Right.
I am pool boy all day long.
10 minutes, waist-deep water, Puerto Vallarta. Man.
I mean, this happened on Friday.
Yeah.
It's Tuesday.
Sure.
10 minutes.
And it's an open tab before you do it.
Sure.
Open tab
you get
before
that
I do it helps.
Yeah. Provided by the Marriott.
I'll do $250,000.
Oh.
So wait a minute.
Wow.
You'll take a digit off for $300,000, but you'll stand in a crocodile-infested
$250,000?
We'll risk death.
I am risking death. But look, to me, this is the better. The digit is not being ripped off by a wild animal. This is
no.
Being surgically removed because it was $300,000. Somebody sued for $300,000 because they lost a fingertip.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm down with that. The alligator, yeah, I'll take $250 for that.
Just $250.
What are you going for?
Oh, man.
It's now, 10 minutes.
Well, I've already done
odds
it. I've already done it, but I didn't know.
I know, but now you do know.
But now I know. So I'm like $500,000.
Half a million? You want $500,000?
Oh, yeah. Easy.
10 minutes.
Yes.
Ted, you'll swim with sharks.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably swim at that beach right now again on Cape Cod. I mean, yeah, hell yeah. For $300, $500, I'm in.
Are you ever getting back in that water again?
In Cape Cod?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You are.
Okay.
All right.
I mean, a little bit different.
Yeah, there's been a lot of attacks.
That's a good point. But then again, no one else was in the water.
I will say this. I wouldn't go swimming if there were seals near me.
No.
Well, of course not.
No.
That's food.
No.
Yeah. Our question, the vacation would have been great, but then blank happened. 206-803-ROCK.
From the Pinkies Plumbing Studio, you're in the men's room. Text the guys at 206-803-ROCK.
Here's when your vacation sucks. A beach vacation in the Dominican Republic turned deadly when a massive blaze tore through a popular hotel.
Oh.
One guest passed and the evacuation of nearly 1,700 other guests.
How big is this hotel?
Authorities say one tourist from Italy in her mid-40s passed away at the fire at the Wyndham Viva Dominicus Beach Resort.
All right.
Three people transported to a medical center. Six others were treated at the scene. The injuries included guests, visitors, and emergency personnel. The resort was almost completely destroyed. Did you see this fire?
No.
It is unbelievable. Footage shared by a local outlet showed thick smoke over the coastline as flames consumed the resort's thatched roofing.
Oh.
This is the same thing.
I was going to ask, is this thing made of wood? Well, there you go.
This is the same thing that happened to the resort that I stayed at in Holbox in Mexico. The entire thing burned down because...
Oh, the thatched roof.
Yeah,
right.
Basically. I mean, and it went up fast.
Well, yeah.
I mean, fast.
I mean, it's kindling. You made a roof out of kindling.
And when I got there, the whole entire town was flooded. So it was a weird time anyway. But either way. Thick smoke over the coastline. The fire spread incredibly quickly because of the wind, helped by the palm-based roof material and the windy conditions. It was eventually contained, and the cause is under investigation. Guests were relocated to nearby hotels, and a sister property helped take a lot of those people in. But either way, it was one of the largest fires that I think I've ever seen as far as a hotel or a resort.
Yeah, 1,700 guests, that's big.
Yeah. Our question, the vacation would have been great, then blank happened. 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Max. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
All right, so my vacation was in Puerto Vallarta as well.
Okay.
So this was back in 91. I had a foreign exchange student from Denmark, so he was totally stoked to go to Mexico with me and my family. My parents had a restaurant at the time, and we got down to Puerto Vallarta. The night, our first night, we got a phone call from back home. An arsonist had attacked my parents' restaurant and burned the restaurant down, and we had to go home the very next day.
Oh, man.
Are you kidding? I mean,
I'm not kidding.
Does anyone know what the motivation was for the arsonist? Was it personal or it was?
Yes. So apparently, one of the waitresses. And this was never proved. The guy was never, like, convicted or anything. But the rumor was...
Neither was OJ. I got a news update. He murdered someone.
So the rumor was is that this gal broke up with this guy. Like, dumped him, broke his heart. So he was like, oh, I'm going to get back at you. So it threw a Molotov cocktail through the window at 3 in the morning or something.
Jesus. Did they rebuild the restaurant or relocate?
Folks actually sold the business. They were not very good at running a restaurant. And they were like, hey, this is a great opportunity to get out. So
okay. All right.
They sold the restaurant.
What kind of restaurant was it?
It was up in La Conner. It was the 1890s. It was a restaurant called the 1890s. It's called La Conner, like seafood and prime rib house now.
Okay. So did they rebuild the building on the existing property?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
My folks had like rock bands there. They had like a Sleep at the Wheel was there. Dave Van Ronk played there. Bonnie Raitt.
Wow.
She didn't actually play there, but she came by and like hung out for a while.
All right.
That's
all
cool.
Right.
All right. So have you made it back to Puerto Vallarta since then?
Many times I go to not Puerto Vallarta, but I go to Mexico just about every year.
All right,
and are you close to
Puerto Vallarta? So my question is, knowing what you know now about these saltwater crocodiles, keep in mind you don't even have to be in the water; they will drag your ass off the beach. Would you get in the water at Puerto Vallarta now?
I probably would. I can't stay out of the water when I go to Mexico. But check this out: the place that we stay. Is a town called Las Palmas, or Malacque, actually. It's just south. It's about an hour south of Puerto Vallarta. And last winter, a gal got killed by a shark at this beach that we swim in every day when we're on vacation.
And you still have no problem going back in that water?
No.
See, man,
yeah.
For me personally,
it's like getting hit by lightning.
I mean, crocodiles bug me more than the sharks. Just because, look, here's the difference. And it's just this one thing, right? So you can say there's sharks in the water. I can still go to the beach. In fact, I might even step into my ankles, you know, knowing the sharks out there. Because as my father says, if sharks can't walk, they're only a threat if you choose them to be, right? So the crocodile, the guy was not in the water. Like, now I'm just on the beach and this thing's going to drag my ass out. No thanks.
Yeah, I mean, right? You might as well go swimming.
Nah, I don't know if I'm going to say all that, but, you know.
Well, I mean, if he's gonna drag me off the beach, you know what I mean?
Okay, I hear what you're saying in theory.
Yeah.
I still feel more confident starting on the beach. I'd rather him have to go through the process of dragging me, because then I got a fighting chance, because, like, land is my thing. Once we're in the water, like, I'm out.
The land is their thing, too.
I know, and that is a problem. That is a problem. But I feel better about sharks in the water, and I go, all right, man, well, I'm just not going to go in the water. The crocodile, like, you don't have to be in the water. You just have to be at the beach.
Mm-hmm. You can take a nap.
I mean,
the other thing that they have going on in Mexico, man, it doesn't happen as much, but it happens on occasion, are wild bulls that show up on the beach there.
Oh, yeah, like on the Baja mm-hmm. Peninsula.
Yeah, and it shows. So it seems like the natives are a little more like, just kind of shoo them away kind of thing, right? Or yell at them, do all the kind of stuff you're supposed to do with a lot of animals. And they always show the tourist. They try to get up close and get a picture, or they want to touch it, and the bulls F them up.
In red swimming trunks.
And, right. I mean, just everything they do is the worst thing to do. All right, let me ask you this. There's sharks swimming in the ocean. We know this. You can choose to get in water, choose not to. There's crocodiles somewhere on the beach. They may or may not snatch you, or a random bull is going to walk onto the beach. Like, what are those three scenarios?
I'm taking being gored.
Really?
Yes.
Man.
Yeah. I think I'm taking
crocodiles as far as hedging my bets.
Have you ever tried to run on the sandy beach?
It's hard.
I go shark.
You're going shark?
I think I'm going shark. Because they don't care about us at all that bad.
Right, it's not going to eat you. It's going to hit you and rip something off.
The gator would take a snap.
But keep in mind, the gator didn't eat that guy. It literally just dragged his ass 900 feet out of the ocean and let him go.
More people survive alligator attacks. As far as bleeding out,
yeah.
Alligators have rounded teeth. They're not as sharp.
Sure.
So they don't hurt at all, Mike.
Well, no, I'm not saying that. I'm saying you have puncture wound. But when a shark, when it lets go, it is ripping your arm to shred. It's a different style tooth.
But it lets go, where the crocodile is like,
bleed out.
I'm holding on to this son of a bitch.
A death spiral.
Death roll. Until he dies.
That's why I'm taking the bull. I'm on land. Man. I'm not being dragged in the water.
As far as
I know, but you got a big ass horn. You got 200,000 pounds of horn going through.
Right.
As far as agitating and aggravating animals, I feel like shark is low on the list.
Well,
it's just out hunting.
Right. Yeah,
the bull you can agitate, but I'd like to think I'm not going to do anything stupid enough.
Well, and forget just getting gored. I mean, it weighs a ton. It could just step on your lungs and crush them.
Yeah, that's it. He's got feet too.
I'm still taking that.
You're taking that. You're taking the bull.
Yes.
I'm pulling crocodiles.
Yes. Look, man, a shark will bite an outboard motorboat.
Yes,
it will try to taste anything to see if it's food.
Correct.
It's going to try you.
It is.
So,
but it'll and it's going to hurt.
Yes,
it's going to hurt a lot. All of these things suck. The difference is
the bull could walk by.
The shark says, "My bad. You might bleed out. You might not. But I apologize. You're not what I thought you were." Crocodile says, "I don't care what you are. Other than this one guy dragged out there, I'm probably going to eat you." The bull says, for whatever reason, I've determined you're an a-hole, so I'm going to put a horn in your ass and then stomp on you.
The guy that got his arms ripped off. All right?
Who that?
And what?
That crocodile ripped both those guys. His arms are both.
The guy got dragged out?
Yeah, well, they
ripped
both.
Jesus.
Yeah, it ate his arms.
Maybe I go shark.
he's dead. It doesn't matter. It doesn't
I know, anything. But still. Man.
Well, he might have ate him after he killed him.
Well,
He also may have ripped them off before he killed him.
But now it has a taste for humans.
Sure, but I think they have a taste for anything. At least sharks are a little more discerning. Yeah, they might attack you, but it's like, you are not what I wanted to eat. You're the equivalent of me eating broccoli. I thought it was meat.
Well,
I let it go.
If it eats me, I'm going to taste like mole.
Why would you taste like mole?
Because I'm in Puerto Vallarta.
That's a good point.
I just think it's arrogant that we're always like, oh, it's got a taste for human. Like, what, we just think we're that good tasting?
Well, now that it has a taste for it, like anything else.
No, I've had kidney beans before. I have never asked them again. That crocodile might be like, no, I've had human. It is not for me.
Well, then why are the arms gone?
Because you still got to try it.
You still got to try to both of them.
It's a crocodile.
Oh, maybe the right tastes better than the left. Is
it
that the
might.
No. I'm just saying, I don't think that an animal attacks a human and goes, oh,
I got
this is it. Now I got it. Now I got to hunt him exclusively.
Right. Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, polar bears just hunt everything.
Well, so say crocodiles. I'm like, well, it tastes for human blood. It doesn't taste for anything. If it is alive, a crocodile has a taste for it.
What if you had later in life that you thought was delicious, but you never had before? I don't know anything. It doesn't have to be a big deal. Devil's on horseback.
Yeah, okay. There's something.
All right.
Once I taste them, I want more. Yeah. Now, if I see them on the menu,
I will order them. Absolutely.
Because I've tasted it, and I know it tastes delicious.
But in this case, the crocodile did not eat the guy, which tells me he had devils on horseback and said, man,
he ate both his arms.
Thanks for a bite, but it's not for me.
Maybe he just left it there. He's going to come back and get it the next day.
There's a bar I found down in Burien, right? The Tin Room. They have those. Now, I have been there twice within a month.
Did you get them both times?
I did, but I was already in Burien.
That's what I'm saying.
I wouldn't drive. I wouldn't migrate from North Seattle to Burien.
But it already lives there.
If
you moved to Burien.
You didn't get anything else. You didn't get the mini corn dogs. You know what I mean? You just got the devils on horseback because you had it and you know it's delicious.
I would put macaroons on there. French macaroons.
Really?
I think they're overrated.
I do too, man.
You haven't had a good one.
Oh, I was in France. It's like, all right. So
all right.
We did that cruise to Malta, we're in France. And the kids stayed in Seattle. But my daughter wanted to try French macaroons, okay? And every day that we talked to her, you could say, hey, baby, how are you doing? Did not care. She is straight up like, did you get the French macaroons yet? I'm not making this up. 7 days in a row. I had to explain. I said, listen, man, on our way back to the States, we are going through France. So I will buy them then. That way you get them within 24 hours, not a week later. She's like, cool. We get back to the States. Kids give us a hug. First words out of her mouth, did you get the French macaroons? Jesus Christ, yes. We got you the French macaroons. We set down the box. She's very excited. She opens the box of French macaroons. Her and I both take a bite of the French macaroons, and we hated them. My son, who never asked for the French macaroons, took a bite of one and finished the box. So, yes.
But they traveled from France.
Mm-hmm. They're 24 hours old. It's like going from the grocery store to your freaking house, and then the next day you eat them. They're not terrible, but they're definitely overrated. And I'm just saying, I got them in France.
I was around 30. I went to Vegas.
All right.
And we stayed at the Venetian, right? A French chef, Thomas Keller, kind of famous.
Sounds French.
He has a restaurant called Bouchon.
Mm-hmm.
And one day my buddy goes, let's get something from the little bakery. And I had never had one. It blew my mind.
Really?
You haven't had anything until you've got them at Paris. You got to go to the different hotel.
Wait a minute. Was I at the... No.
You're going to get authentic.
But he's French, and his French restaurant is in...
I'm talking about Paris.
I'm
just saying.
They have an Eiffel Tower. It's called Paris.
Yeah. Say, try them there.
Would you go for Italian food there?
At the Paris?
I mean, if there's a famous Italian chef.
Yeah, sure. The same.
Vacation would have been great until blank happened. 206-803-ROCK.
You got to eat in France. I don't know, man. I'm just saying. Macaroons
are delicious. I was in effing France.
Yeah, but you flew them home.
I know. We got them from a baker.
Yeah.
Not even a grocery store. Like, everything you should do to have a French macaroon. I took a bite. I'm like, yeah, whatever, man.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'll come by one day this summer. I know a spot to get some good ones.
All right.
Is it the place
I'll
thinking?
Try one.
Okay. You got to be there. I'm trying to impress his daughter. I want her to have the real thing, fresh.
They were from France, Ted.
A day old from France.
Yes, a day old from
Even
France.
Even a day old baguette would be good.
Yes.
Ah, it'd be all hard.
She likes baguette bone. Hello, Wes. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola. So I went to Cancun for my sister's wedding, and I walked her down the aisle, and we went, like, a couple days prior, we went on a catamaran, and I see this sombrero floating in between Cancun and Isla de Muerta, and I was like, I yelled at the captain, I said, hey, let me go, like, I swim, like, a lot. I was like, let me get that, and so I pop up, put the sombrero on my head, and then we do the wedding, you know, walk my sister down the aisle, and we're having dinner, and everyone's having a good time, and my ex-wife is like, I think I got stung by a bee, and I was like, you haven't told me for, like, the last 6 years that you have a bee allergy. What are you talking about? She's like, I need Benadryl, and I need to go back to the room, and you need to come with me, and I was like, dude, I'm trying to have a good time. I'm not trying to be a D, but you're kind of just wanting to ruin, and she would do this all the time. She would just ruin the mood all the time. And I'm like, this is the final point. So when we got back to America, I was like, yeah, we're done. Like, I'm out.
That was she miserable all the time at home too, or just on vacation you could count on it?
So I would come home after working 12 hours and I'd be like, hey, what are we doing for dinner? And she'd be like, I don't know, what are you making? And I'd be like, well, you worked 8 hours, I worked 12. So
now it's probably a good thing you get out of there. I mean, if you're having arguments about stuff like that, it's not worth it.
If you can't have fun on vacation.
Yeah. Like, well, that's it. Like, look, vacation is one thing. If you guys ever dated someone who is a bad traveler, someone who just, for whatever reason, you know, either they overpack, they stress out, they don't like going to the airport, they hate the... For me, I actually like the process. Even though there's delays, even though there's all kinds of crap that can go wrong in the airport, I still like getting there early, getting a couple beers. I mean, I am that old man now that gets to the airport early just to make sure I get in on time. But I don't mind traveling. To me, it's calming and relaxing. I don't mind
traveling solo because I have the way that I'm going to do things, which involves copious amounts of alcohol and me just generally not caring.
Right.
I know I need to be. There's the gate. Get on the plane. We get there. My wife travels fine, but she used to be an overpacker. Right. Yeah. When we pre-child. Right. I mean, I'm just like, hey, we're leaving town for 3 days. And there are 4 suitcases. And it's always the same. Every woman says the same thing. I don't know what I'm going to want to wear. And I'm like,
well, figure it out before you leave.
Well, I keep it simple. I'm like, I don't either. But I'm limited to the number of days that we're going to be there. These are the clothes I have. So much like opening the closet. These are my options. Then I put it on. And unless we have some, I don't know, fancy thing planned. And I'm sure one night we'll do that.
If you're going to a wedding, you got a suit or whatever. Right.
But I'm like, wait, why are you worried about it? We're going on vacation with people we don't know, and typically we're going somewhere warm. So you're not going to need a wool sweater. You're probably not going to want high heels. You know, like, dude, just dress up. And now she's very much on that tip. But before we had kids, it would get to the point, like, look, I will not carry this suitcase if you bring it. You want to pack all that crap, you carry it. And guess what happened? I carried it anyway. So the beautiful thing that happened is you could pitch a bitch, but I'm still dragging the suitcase. But the good thing is once we had kids, and anyone that has infant, anyone like under 3 years old, and you have to get on a plane, it is stunning how much crap you have to pack for these itty-bitty life forms, man. Hey. So when it got to the point, like, look, we can either travel with 8 suitcases, or you and I can figure out a way to fit both of our crap into one carry-on, which now we do, and we can bring all this extra stuff, right? So now the kids are older. They can carry their own luggage, but she still packs minimally. I'm like, I would rather buy you something when we're there and figure it out.
Exactly. Than bring all this crap. Dude, when we were going to Victoria, I told you, we got pulled over in customs. And this was it for me. I drew the line. I was done. So they pull us over in 2 different areas. And the guy says, are all these items in your bag? Did you pack them? Are they yours? And I said, yes. He opens it up, and there's like one of her bags from the bathroom. It's got all her prescription drugs in them.
But you packed it, sir. We just asked you.
Yeah. And I've also got a pair of boots that I didn't know I had on top of this bag. And I'm just like, if you ever put anything in my, if you can't fit it in your suitcase, which is the big one, then you can't bring it.
That's fair.
You can't keep, is there any room in your bag? That is the wrong question. Yeah. Now you're going to set me the F off because the guy's like, these pills don't have your name on them. What are these? And I'm like, I don't know. Ask her, man. She's the walking pharmacy.
Right.
Not me. Like, I don't have Xanax to travel and all this crap.
Yeah, you know, to
like,
travel.
All these pain medications. Like, it's just not how I roll. Yeah. I got a bottle of Advil for crying out loud, man. Some eye drops in case I find some weed. Vacation would have been great. And then blank happened. 206-803-ROCK.